Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on the website media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. The last few times on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13. We were learning about the keys to effective prevailing prayer. The first key we looked at was the appreciation of need or the knowledge of our need. If we don't realize we have a need, then we won't ask God or anyone else for help. The second key to prevailing prayer was the stipulation of request. What I meant by that is that there are conditions or stipulations that need to be met in order for our prayers to be effective. We are commanded in this text to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now, as we resume our study, let me read the text, Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13. And Jesus said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The second key to prevailing prayer is the stipulation of request. A stipulation is a requirement or a condition that needs to be met in order to achieve a desired result. To experience the power of prevailing prayer, we must learn the proper way to make our requests. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus makes several very clear, unambiguous statements. He said, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You know, those are amazing promises. I note that in verse 9, the words ask, seek, and knock are all imperatives. They are given as commands. Are they simply repetitions of the same idea or concept? Do they imply that God is hard of hearing? Well, you and I know better than that. In response to these commands, one writer noted, we ask for what we wish, we seek for what we miss, and we knock for that from which we feel ourselves shut out. Do you see the logical progression of desire and effort in verse 9? Asking for something we wish to have takes only the minimal effort of the voice. Yet James reminds us that we often don't receive because we don't ask, or because we ask selfishly for the wrong things. You'll find that in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Seeking what we are missing involves our vision and mobility. It demonstrates an increasing intensity of desire. The writer of Proverbs wrote regarding wisdom, "If you seek her as silver, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And Jesus told the story of the lost coin and the diligent search that retrieved it. He also told his followers to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Knocking requires movement, and it calls forth the effort of the body. In the case of the suppliant in this account, it also meant overcoming a reluctance to disturb his neighbor at midnight. Once he made that decision to knock, he was committed to see it through. I remember an experience from my youth where I needed to go back to someone and clear my conscience and offer to make restitution. I remember asking God for the courage to follow through on what I knew he wanted me to do. The next step was to seek out the man whom I had wronged. And I remember driving past his driveway several times before I had the courage to turn in. When I finally entered his property, I needed to knock at the front door. And once I did that, there was no turning back, and I was able to reach my goal. A clear conscience, a renewed joy in the Lord, and a stronger confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. The promises of verse 9, receiving, finding, and opening, all emphasize future action, the receiving of the desired result. In the illustration I just gave you from my personal experience, when I met the stipulation of request, I obtained the result that I wanted. If any one of Jesus' followers doubts his level of interest in them, he repeats these promises again in verse 10. Notice the present tense, the continuing action. Everyone who is asking will be receiving. Everyone who is seeking will be finding. And everyone who is knocking will find the door being opened. Now, some today will isolate these verses from their context and from Jesus' other teachings on prayer to insist that we can receive anything we ask for. But we must remember that this promise is given in the context of an immediate and pressing need. These promises are not, as it were, a blank check where we simply write in the amount and ask God to cash it. First, we must ask in faith. We see this illustrated in the lives of many people whom Jesus healed. The writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And James tells us not to expect anything from God unless we ask in faith. That's what the man in this account did. He went to his neighbor with the confidence that he would be able to meet his need. If he hadn't had that faith, he would have never risked his honor. Second, this scripture portion and others remind us that we need to ask for the proper things with proper motives. James warns us about asking for things simply to consume them on our own desires. Jesus warned us not to lay up treasures on earth. Instead, in John 14, he counseled his followers to ask for those things that would glorify the Heavenly Father. He connected answered prayer to a life of obedience and abiding in his love. These are further stipulations of request we must keep in mind. The response of many Christians to this promise is, "I asked, but I did not receive. I sought God, but did not feel I got through to him. I knocked at his door, but he did not admit me." However, the unusual strength with which Jesus gave this promise should encourage every one of us to believe him in spite of the appearances. We may not have received yet. We may not feel as though we got through to God, but Jesus said we did. We may feel that we are knocking on heavens of brass, but Jesus promised that God has entertained our prayer. Now, friend, have you experienced the reality of these promises? If not, there are several things to consider. The command to ask, seek, and knock is not fulfilled in a passing mention of your needs to God. Are you continuing to ask, to seek, and to knock? Or have you gotten tired and given up? Remember our opening illustration, how the woman prayed for her mother for 20 years? What if she'd given up as she was tempted to do? Most of us have had that temptation. As we consider this key to unlocking the power of prevailing prayer, let's remember the invitation of Hebrews 4:16. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The final key, then, to prevailing prayer is the correlation of response. The final verses of our text are a fitting conclusion to Jesus' teaching on the power of prevailing prayer. And it's in this final key where we are shown the heart of the Heavenly Father. The Father-Son relationship is one that is held in high regard in the Scriptures. This is especially true in the realm of the family and the church. Men are to model the love of Christ and to shepherd and care for those under their authority. So Jesus continues his teaching on prayer by making a correlation between a father's relationship to his son and Jesus' relationship to his followers. No father who takes his responsibility seriously would ever consider the substitutions Jesus mentions in verses 11 and 12. While we earthly fathers are certainly not perfect, we are designed by God to be providers and protectors. So when our son asks for bread, and he needs bread, and we have it within our power to give him bread, we'll do it. Most of us do not have the heart to mock our son in his time of need. The same is true with the illustrations of the fish and the egg. In the first example, giving a stone would be harmless, but it will bring keen disappointment to the one who is needing and expecting bread. With the latter examples, there is the possibility of physical harm. And a good father never carelessly places his son or daughter in harm's way. Neither does the Heavenly Father. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to pick up our study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and Nepali are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue this study, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.